mean, we're officially recording now, so it is what it is. This is it. This is the start.
Podcast numero...
Numero uno. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Two Guys Talking Shit. Sitting here in Steven's living room. My name is Leon McIntosh. Sitting here with Steven Phage. Don't really know what we're going to do the complete basis of the show, but it's going to be talking about current events, current issues from our perspective in terms of owning a business, in terms of the lifestyle trends. And we'll talk about everything from business, lifestyle, sports, kind of you name it, and give the raw, unfiltered opinion of what we think of what's going on, right? So you want to introduce yourself to the crowd?
My name is Steven Phage. I'm 34 years old, business owner. I used to be an engineer, and met Leon in grad school. Known each other for, what's that, six years or so. Living in St. Pete, just working from home and trying to hustle, making shit happen.
All right, I love it, I love it. So my name is Leon McIntosh. I run Swift Interactive Digital Design Agency. And we build custom software, all that kind of stuff. So I play in the creative space, I guess you can say. But so I'm going to get into it because I've got an issue I want to talk about. And you and I...
Unbeknownst,
right? So the point of this, too, is to just be raw, unfiltered, off the cuff. Like, I want, you know, we want real reaction, right? So, and this is a topic that you and I have actually talked quite a bit about, and it goes back to social media, social presence. So right now is my Super Bowl of the year, okay? The Tour de France is on NBC, and I watch it every day. And one of the issues they're having is these teams are folding up. Like, the biggest team, one of the biggest teams in the sport is folding because they can't find sponsors. And my opinion in the reason they can't find sponsors is because they're not leveraging their platform to give their sponsors real value, right? So they take one guy. I'll give you an example. There's a guy in the Peloton. The field is called the Peloton in cycling. And his name's Taylor Finney, and every day NBC has a camera, gives him, they take his Instagram story and post and show it on TV, and it's him being a complete, sounds like a stoner. Like, this is my room. It's the greatest thing ever. But the thing is the guy now has 50,000 followers, and people are getting that inside look, right? So when I see this team about to fold because they can't find sponsors, my question is even for us as business owners, like, what do you, where's the value in sponsoring these? Is there value? And what's missing? What would you, if you had to say today, Five Nines is going to sponsor whatever sport, what kind of return would you look for in that? That's deep. I went pretty heavy on you right there from the start, for sure.
Well, granted, it's all out of left field. So I'm not sure. I'm not trying to shut this down, but I'm not sure it would apply. What sport is, or maybe I'm not looking deep enough, what sport is connected to manufacturing? So if you're going to sponsor a team, my first question would be, like every other corporation, what's the ROI, right? Yeah. And Gary Vee would say, well, there's no ROI. You just have to be out there. Well, so,
and I'm going to cut you off right there because there are teams that are sponsored, like one of the, and now I can't remember like what the main name of the team, because a team will have a name. Like the one that's going out of business is Team BMC, which is a bike manufacturer. But they have a list of 50 other sponsors. But there is one of the major teams that's sponsored by a construction company. You know, what's the value to that construction company? Let's face it, like the sponsorship part of it is really just a CEO or somebody up high up that likes cycling, that wants to be a part of it, but maybe it brings some value back to the organization.
NASCAR, Home Depot, people in the stands.
Yeah, but
DIY, right? So I see the connection there.
Right.
Is that kind of your point?
Yeah. Well, in a sense, but my real question is, let me give you another example. Let's Tour de France aside. There was also, this is fitting because yesterday on the only TV I watch is this show called PTI on ESPN. And it's two guys that sit across. Yeah, pardon the interruption. Two guys that sit across from each other. And yesterday they had the commissioner for Major League Baseball on. And the discussion was around Mike Trout. You know who Mike Trout is? He's a player for, I guess, the Anaheim Angels. Dude is having a killer season. He's crushing it in all stats. But the guy has a very, very low profile. Doesn't let anybody in. And he's not out in the... His private life is very private, not super accessible. Mm-hmm. And one of the things the commissioner said was, you know, these guys can make more money and do better if they were more out there. And he praised the NBA players for being more out there. So I think for me, the thing is knowing that we have these tools.
Question.
Go.
So you said NBA players can make more money by being out there?
Yeah.
So you're saying there's a correlation between fandom and skill? So what if they're not that good, but they have a large following? Will they necessarily make more money through salary and or endorsements? Maybe endorsements. But just because they have a large platform, are they necessarily going to get paid a higher contract if they're not as good as the other guy with a lower platform? Or see what I mean?
That's the question,
though. Yeah.
Right? Like, I think common knowledge says yes.
Maybe you're tied with somebody, but the guy or gal with the stronger platform might get picked because they'll sell more tickets because it's entertainment, right? Skill plus entertainment.
Right.
So something to be said about that, too.
Well, for sure. I think the overarching thing, though, is like, look, if you have the platform, if you've leveraged it, right? Mm-hmm. If I am Mike Trout and I do have and I've taken the time to build that following, I would think my value's way higher. And an organization, so as a player, an organization would be way more apt to keep me if I'm bringing more value,
more ticket sales,
more ticket sales, more merchandise sales.
But right. If you're bringing in more people, selling more tickets, more merchandise,
yeah,
you're still valuable.
For sure.
So you're kind of mitigating your skill. And especially, call it insurance plan. So think of athletes getting older, risking injury. But if you have a platform built around it, a team isn't going to be as quick to kick you off because you got a bum knee if you're bringing in millions of dollars of tickets and merchandise based on your platform.
Right. Yeah. And that's the point, right?
Stealing the mic for a second here.
Steal it.
I appreciate the format of surprise.
Yeah.
No, I do like it. I want to know, though, and for everyone that's listening, what is the question? What is the why? What are we driving at here to put it all into context?
Well, so the question is, what is the ask?
For what?
For the ask is, I think what we'll do is, I think we're going to look back at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to say, and this is going to be the title of my book, and it's going to be, the title is going to be, It's Fucking Obvious.
Okay.
Right? Because now more than ever, you can look back and you can say, I think that you'll be able to look back and say, you know what? I should have did this.
100.
Right? Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like the blueprint for success is there. It's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And as these companies and these teams or whatever the business you're in, when you look at the money that you have spent, whether it be sponsorship, advertising, is the business not asking enough accountability from their athletes, from whatever there's the advertising, from the people that they are investing in for some sort of ROI? Because the point is you're putting it out there in hopes that it brings back something.
So throwing shit at the wall, are you saying that in order to get signed with the Lakers, you have to have so many followers? To be crass, along that line, is that where you're?
No.
So the business should be asking more of the athletes.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Are you saying something like
yeah, that? Yeah, I'm saying that the business should be asking more. And that the
so
business.
Skill isn't enough.
Skill isn't is enough. Platform is required.
And that'll incentivize people to continue building platforms.
Exactly. Exactly. Because you know what it is? I hear these cycling teams bitch and complain they can't find sponsors. And look, for cycling, there's a whole different other batch of problems. There's dopers, cheats, whatever, right?
And those little servo motors in the axle.
Yeah, somebody, there was a big controversy yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in yesterday's stage, the camera caught one of the tires of a guy coming off the ground. And apparently the guy had just put his chain back on, but the tire was spinning like he was doing 30 miles an hour. So everybody that saw it, the social media lost their shit and was like, this guy's got a motor.
Yeah.
You know, I watched Lance Armstrong's podcast.
So he was static, he wasn't moving, and then it popped up and it was.
Well,
it wasn't like he was like.
They didn't show it. He had just crashed. So then today on NBC, all morning, they're like showing, they go to the guy and say, can you reenact this crash for us? Like, why was your tire spinning so fast? So, yeah, look, I'm
sure. let's keep throwing shit at it. So if he did have a platform, that gives him the opportunity to mitigate if he truly is not cheating.
Right.
Then he has access. He's not a victim to the gatekeepers, media. He can go around them and say, hey, everybody, you know me. You've been on my journeys. You've seen what I'm...
He can pick his phone up and he can say to everybody that goes, Tom Squeans, you're cheating. Bullshit. I'm not cheating. Here's my bike. Here's all the thing that's going on. I didn't do it.
I've established trust.
Right. Blah, blah, blah. So that eliminates the 500 Reddit comments, every cycling journalist that actually isn't a cycling fan that's writing about it. You know, it eliminates the shock headline.
Right.
Right. So I think these guys, from the athlete's perspective, or just from an individual perspective, if you're a blogger, if you are an athlete, if you are somebody, hell, even just any, you work, anybody. When you, if you don't take advantage of the platform we have now, whether it's social media or whatever, because this can apply if you go look for a job.
So that's what a question brewing in my head. Go ahead. We give the example of, you said if the businesses are asking more of the players, that incentivizes them to build platforms because they know that'll help them to get deals, not just skill. Agreed? Yeah. So they're feeling that pain. We all respond to pain and pleasure.
Yeah.
Right? How do we, the normal people, who are not bidding for a spot on the LA Lakers, how do we feel that pain if a business isn't requiring it, yet we're still going to lose out in the long run if we don't feel the pain and act now? How can we get ourselves, how can we get other people, and I mean in absolute clarity, this is us just doing it. We're sharing a microphone. We don't have the best setup, but we know it's important. It's driving us bananas. How can other people instill that into themselves to get moving? That's without the looming NBA contract.
The million-dollar question, right? Yeah. So I think one is you just have to take the initiative and do it. Like So going back to athlete versus the organization, it's easy to go there because they have the resources, right? So even for you that doesn't have the resources.
Yeah, they just go, media company.
Right. So
you know, for us, it's like, what do we do?
This is like Kylie Jenner.
Do I buy the right mic? Do I have the right connector?
This is like the bullshit article in Forbes about Kylie Jenner being a self-made billionaire. Get the fuck out of here, okay? Uh-huh. Look, all props to her. She's done the work, in quotes, because I don't know that she's done the work. But you're trying to tell me this, at the time, 18-year-old girl, who's probably very capable, probably very smart, started a billion-dollar company on her own? I don't think so. But for somebody that just works down the street as an insurance adjuster or whatever it is, to pick up your phone and start a Facebook Live series, to pick up your phone and do an Instagram story, that's nothing, man. I think you and I have talked about this all the time, is if you plan out, you sit down, write some ideas down, and just turn the damn camera on. Right? Hence what we're doing right here, right now. Like, I didn't tell you what it was. I just said, hey, let's just do it. Let's just turn it on.
Because you knew I would have been like, oh, but we could tweak this and tweak that and over.
Right, because I don't want to do that. Exactly. That is what gets in the way so much. Mm-hmm. Like, I have an idea for a full video series of what I do with Swift is on the sales side. Mm-hmm. I've been telling you I had this idea for freaking months.
Too long.
Yeah. So it's... And the value of the platform on the backside. So if you spend the time, you do it, the value of it on the backside is what I'm getting at, right? And it's not only for whoever you work for, it's for yourself. Mm-hmm. So like if for some reason you got to go find a job, you know, and somebody wants to research you, because now how many times do you hear somebody's lost their job because of a tweet, because of a Facebook post? Well, how many, now you can use it as a reason to get a job. To the positive.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. And real quick, I want to add kind of a tip, because it helped me, and I shared it with some people, to get your first Instagram Live going. So we're saying, what do? I don't know what to talk about.
Yeah.
All I did was open my phone. Remember?
Yeah.
I posted a story, and I said, I am going live tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. Send.
Do it.
And I was like, fuck it. If I turn it on, and I'm the most awkward Instagram Live you've ever seen, if that's day one, if that's my start, so be it. But then, this might help people. So if you're thinking of a couple things you could talk about, because people are like, I'm into cycling, I'm into reading, I'm into chess, I'm into whatever, Say, yeah, I'm into these three things. What do you want to talk about? On your story, do a poll. And if even one person responds, that'll make you more confident than you were when you had no idea who wanted to hear what. And then talk about that.
Well,
and that'll get you over the hump, and then you get warmed up, and then you'll start engaging with people.
In that same vein, look, can kind of build if nobody shows up, then you've really got no excuse. Mm-hmm. Right? Because then it's not like
you can't be embarrassed.
Then it's not a performance.
You can't be embarrassed.
Right? Then it's just you riffing for however long that is and making it happen.
And save it, upload it to YouTube, and go again.
Yeah. You know, the tools are there. And I think I've thought about it a lot lately that I think, you know, we're going to look back at this time. And we're gonna know it. You and I will be able to look at each other 10 years and go, "Fuck, we should have did it then."
No, don't say that.
Well,
we're gonna say, "I'm so fucking glad we got started."
Right. Yeah. But you understand what I'm saying, 100. Right? You know, there will be no excuse for having not done it, other than, fuck, I didn't do it.
Yep. Well, Gary Vee said when he was here in Tampa, he's like, "You're doing your children a disservice by not setting up your mini empire right now."
Right.
You're screwing them. I was like,
Yeah. So I think with this, you know, this is episode number one, right? Let's figure out what episode number two is and put it in the books. You know, who knows if it's a weekly, bi-weekly, whatever it is.
Question for you.
Answer.
As far as, you know, there are a lot of people who are on social media and they have like a mission. It's like, this is my niche. This is what I do. I'm a female business leader. I help women in health and wellness. I'm, you know, a business guy getting people to not make any more excuses or whatever it is. And they're kind of on their own mission. Is there a fine or a large line between having your own mission and doing it anyway, or kind of like what I'm hinting at, just do an Instagram live, get some feedback, and then see what people want to talk about more, and almost let them drive your mission. If you just simply want to be out there just to be out there. Is there a difference, or?
A difference in getting started, or a difference
between having a very clear mission, or just letting your market kind of decide what you talk about, and then just sharing your ideas
out? So here's the problem. Here's what I think the problem is with letting the market decide, in terms of what you share and what you do, right?
Okay.
Is, if you do that,
this is a very selfish question.
No, if you do that, does it become what you like? Does it become what you love?
I think you can say no to what you don't want to talk to and just say yes to what they suggest.
Yeah. I mean, that's the answer. So the answer is, as long as it stays in line with what your values are and what makes you want to keep doing it and what.
But don't do it because the mob's decided that that's what you should do.
Right. Because that's the other part of this is, you know, look, I think everybody would rather do something than what their job is. But the vast majority would probably look at their job and go, "Fuck, I don't want to do this. I want to do something else." Mm-hmm. Right?
I want to be a hamster.
So if you're going to start an Instagram chat about pottery, well then, shit, talk about pottery. Don't you ain't got to talk about insurance adjusting.
Dude, there are 12-year-olds on YouTube that make hundreds of thousands of dollars talking about slime.
Right.
Slime.
Right.
Kids are crushing it on YouTube. Talking about whatever.
Yeah, but you know, and then, but with that though too, the parents have stepped in and the parents have just helped push the kid along with that, right? Like what the slime one is, it's a kid and his dad, right? And now the dad and him do it together all the time. And the dad, I want to say I read something about it where the dad's just like, "Hey, this is what he loves to do. I want to do it too with him." So it's turned into something they both enjoy. And it's not like a, "Hey, we got to do this to make money. This is our way out."
And that's the whole. It's you're in flow, you're doing what you enjoy, other people enjoy that, and you get to build an empire on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, the social platforms we have, I don't think people realize, I think we are so wrapped up in the negativity of what goes on in it right now that we have just disregarded or pushed to the side the positive things that can come from it.
And I think a correlation that a lot of influencers make is another mistake that we make is we use it to consume. We don't actually use it as a tool.
Right.
To reach out and to add value. We're just consuming and doing whatever we do.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny you say that too, because I find myself, you know, I got my kid now is 10 months old. And I find myself having to, like, just scrolling through it and having to go, what the fuck am I doing? Put this thing down. 1,000%. You know, like, and I'm literally just, like, not even just Facebook. It could be Apple News, whatever. Just literally consuming random bullshit.
To the point where you don't even, I don't even know what I'm looking at. It's just like, whatever. Eh, it's such a habit.
Yeah.
You're right. Mindless shit. It's just a bad habit.
Yeah. So I, you know, I think that the we're going to look, like I said, there's going to be a period that we'll look back and say, we knew the answer, but we didn't do it. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we,
that's not gonna happen.
At some point we'll have said, yeah, we did it. Mm-hmm. But there is that period of, the fuck took me so long? Why did it take me so long to get to?
So now I'll make my monk comment.
Ooh, monk.
You could spend your energy asking that question, or you could just spend that energy doing the thing.
Yeah.
So I think it's a natural inclination for us to ask that question. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you're aware of it, you just got to say, at least I found out now. And not when I'm 40, 50, or never.
Yeah.
So fuck it.
Yeah. So I guess to go back to the original question, right? What, why do it? You know, what's the ROI on it for everybody involved? I mean, there's ROI for everyone involved.
Everything.
There's ROI for you personally. Mm-hmm. There's ROI for your company, business, organization. Mm-hmm. If you want it to be there.
Anyone who says it's not about the ROI doesn't understand ROI.
Right.
There's always ROI.
There's, I mean, it could be financial, it could be spiritual, emotional.
Yeah,
the whole deal.
Yep.
So that's, and I think that's what frustrated me about it the other day. Is
about what exactly?
So this team, mm-hmm, is one of the premier teams in cycling. Mm. It's going away. The benefactor, who I think owned BMC, the bike manufacturer, passed away from cancer. And, you know, the team director is like, I can't find sponsors. I'm trying to find sponsors. And in the meantime, all his riders have gone and signed contracts with others because they don't know what's going on, mm-hmm, right? Whereas for me, if I'm the team director, I'm saying, hey, you rider, I pay $5 million. Do you have a cell phone?
Why don't you hit the red button?
Tell the people how your ride went today. Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, you rider number 5 in the team. Why don't you take a picture with rider number 1 and share it or something, right? Because that in turn, somebody, cycling is made up, you know, you play to the audience, right? Because cycling is made up of CEOs, you know, type A type people, mm-hmm, that are all into that stuff, and those are the people that are writing the checks, mm-hmm, right? So they've created their own problem, and that's why, you know, I think we need to look more at the positive side of what these platforms give us and less at the political fake whatever stuff that everybody just seems, the echo chamber it seems to be of just crap.
So you've mentioned that twice in two different ways. Do you think that what holds people back is the negative side of social media, or is there an intimidation factor? What causes people to not build their platform? You've mentioned a couple times, you know, we only focus on the negative side,
yeah,
not the positive, but is it maybe there's too much and we don't know what or how to do?
I'm going to say both, and I'll tell you why. So, look, I don't want to get into politics. I can't stand politics, but I think part of it is politically motivated, right? Because, like,
using social media?
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, and I here's why I say that. And I tell my wife this all the time. I say, you know, back a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, it used to be you only had the one crazy uncle, right? You had the one, and everybody just disregarded and brushed it off, like, ah, Uncle Johnny, man, that guy's freaking nuts. Don't listen
to
him.
But that's Uncle Johnny.
But that's Uncle Johnny.
Yeah.
And now, it's like the roles have reversed, and I feel like the amount of crazy in my feed and in my network has hit such a level that I don't want to interact, mm-hmm, that I just want to peel back.
That's what I'm following for.
Brother, using it to the nth degree, and the funny thing is it's like I feel like I get rid of one and another one pops up, mm-hmm, so it's a nonstop circle. Mm-hmm. But that the volume on that is now higher, which then feeds into the fear of, well, why am I going to share this stuff? Mm-hmm. Because are people going to accept it? Because now all you're seeing is like people going against something, the negativity, negative, 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 you're going to try
so
to put something.
So if you put it out, are they going to tear me apart? Are they not even going to take the time to like, oh, is this good?
Exactly. Exactly. Hmm. I mean, am I wrong? Do you disagree?
I don't. That's what it is. How can we, and anyone who's listening, manage that, deal with that, approach it, get around it, look at it differently? So now that we know what it is, what do we do with it, if that's the issue?
Yeah. Well, I you know what? I think
we didn't just get on this microphone to talk shit about shit.
Yeah.
We need to drive to solutions that cause us to create action, yeah. Be it for ourselves or anyone who's listening.
Yeah.
So what would you do with that?
Well, so I think it's equal amounts who gives a shit.
Okay.
Right? Because I think you just have to put it out. You have to put the negative stuff aside and say and be okay with somebody not liking the job you did, right? Like, so I put out a DIY video. You and I talked about this, right? Mm-hmm. I put out this DIY video on YouTube a year ago, mm-hmm. about making goofball solar lights for my fence. I love them. They're awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, well, it worked.
People are gonna eat that shit up.
Dude, I get a random message on this video every other week or something about, wow, this guy's forehead is huge. You know?
Thanks, Bob.
Or something like, just a negative comment.
Trolls, man.
Yeah, trolls. But you know what the video has? 25,000 views.
That's when you say, thanks for the comment. Thanks for the edge
rank. Right.
Keep it up. I mean, whatever.
Right. So it clearly, like, so I think the point is even with the negativity, you just have to put it out. Mm-hmm. You have to put the other stuff aside and you have to be okay with just people not agreeing and liking it. Mm-hmm. Right. Because there's people I love dearly that post stuff I don't agree with, but I just disregard. Okay. And talking about consuming content,
mm-hmm.
consume only relevance, consume mm-hmm. what is relevant to you
mm-hmm.
and just.
So you have to first understand what is relevant to you.
Yeah. Yeah, but
and
I think
you have, and that's when you start to realize, this is crap. Why am I even looking at this?
Yeah.
Because you realize it's not relevant.
Right. Yeah.
And that helps you determine whether you're a consumer or a user.
I hope that's not super loud.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's why it's important to understand, are you just a consumer of all this?
Yeah.
Or are you a user of these platforms? And once you become a user, you understand, user, consumer, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But once you start using it with like deliberately as a tool, then when you're looking at it, you're like, this does nothing for me. That's right. The difference.
Well, you get on me about this all the time.
Uh-huh.
Right? And it's about just being more effective of like, are you distracted or are you being productive?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, cause I feel like there's times where I'm like, yeah, I got this squirrel and this squirrel and this squirrel. And you're like, what the fuck is that doing? Like, is that helping you achieve X goal? Is that helping you do this? And I'm like, yeah, sure isn't.
Well, it's like three squirrels pushing on a branch or one bear in the center. Who's going to move it?
Right.
One bear in the center.
Right, right. So, I that's what, I think that's what it's got to be. You got to, mm-hmm. you just got to commit. You got to commit
mm-hmm.
to it. So, mm-hmm. yeah. So that, I mean, that was the topic I wanted to talk about. And I thought it was really fitting because it happened on two separate days on two separate events
mm-hmm.
or, you know,
seeing like real life
two venues.
People failing as a result of not having a platform.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Like one business is going out of business. One guy's not making as much money as he could be making. Mm. Like those kinds of things. And, you know, one commissioner from one league telling another league, hey, you guys have done a really good job at this,
mm-hmm.
whether you agree with it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But it's becoming acknowledged or people are recognizing it. People recognize when you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So why not do it? You know, that's the question. Why not?
WTF.
What the
fuck are we doing?
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's all I got.
Okay. I didn't come prepared. I was just like, show up, sit in the seat.
Yeah, well, I kept you in the dark. You're like, what are we talking about? I don't know.
That was on purpose.
Yeah, it was on purpose.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I mean, I don't... Yeah. I had no mission today. I kind of... sneak mine in there, my few questions.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess takeaways is just do it, right? And not the takeaway is.
I got to interrupt.
No, the takeaway
and
is
hit
that
with Joe Rogan thing. The fuck does that mean?
Right. No. Well, that's what I
hate hearing. Right.
Right.
Just do it. Do what?
No, the takeaway is to find a couple. Well, there's a couple, right? There's find what's important to you, whether it's relatable to your job, to not to your job, to just something that's personally.
Can I say find your why?
Yeah, you can say find
your why.
What's
your why? Why are you here? Why are you doing what you're doing?
Yeah, or if it could be just something you enjoy. Why are you doing it? I really enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
And start sharing it. Share that, right? Become the, I don't want to say the domain expert, because then it's like buzzwords and shit.
And that's
like
intimidating. People hear that. Like, I'm no domain expert.
No.
Keep it simple.
Yeah, just share what you enjoy,
mm-hmm.
and see the positive for what it is. And you're sharing your knowledge, you're sharing your thoughts, and it's a learning experience. It all is. I mean,
mm-hmm.
nobody knows how to get it right on the very first try in most things.
And everybody that we see, they're all overnight successes. We didn't see the choppy videos and they're sharing a mic. And
yeah.
We don't see that stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? But
right.
That's how they got there.
Exactly.
You can't just jump from one to the next.
Yeah, for every overnight success, there's probably several million people who sucked the first time or failed or
mm-hmm.
moved to something else. I will share, there's something in this book. I shared this book with you the other day, and I don't remember what it's called. Let me pull it. I actually listened to it on the way here, but I don't want to. It's The Power of Moments by Chip Heath and Dan.
Yes, I need to get that on
okay.
Audible.
Here, so in this book, it talks about this chick who hated her job, and she loved baking, and she went and opened a bakery.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one day she just realized she left the door open or something in the book, in the story. She left the door open and then realized, I don't really want to do this, you know? And she had just started, and she went back to her other job, you know? So it's just the realization of what you want to do, and
mm-hmm.
just share it. Just try it.
And what I'm big on is, how do you stoke moments like that? Because it seems like when they happen, you could say it's by chance. It could be all these experiences coming into one.
Yeah.
But how do you stoke that clarity? How do you stoke that sooner? Because it's happened, and kind of like you said, it could be 10 years from now, and we're like, why didn't we start sooner? So how do you get that moment of clarity sooner?
Well, is it the moment of clarity, or is it the...
So when it occurred to her that she should have just started her own business,
yeah.
Why did it take 5, 10, 15 years?
How can
you do that sooner so you don't burn so much time?
It's a good question.
That's a hard answer, but that's the kind of questions that I ask.
Yeah. So that's it. I mean, that's what I got for today. Anything else? Anything? Bueller?
No, man. This is cool.
So, all right. Well, that's episode number one, and today is it's 3 o'clock on Wednesday, July 18th. For episode number one of Two Guys Talking Shit.
How long was
it? I don't really know. But hope you join us for episode number two. I'm sure there will be a website and a iTunes feed and all that cool shit that comes along.
Have you used Radar or Anchor?
I have used Anchor. But we'll leave you with that, and we'll talk to you next time.